Hi friend, before we get started, I just want to put a disclaimer. I get a little rambly and ranty in this episode. It is a topic that a lot of you have asked me to share more on, as I've shared a little bit of it on Instagram, and I honestly just don't have the perfect words to share it, but I did want to share my journey. So that's really what this is. I share my journey, I share takeaways, I share application points, I share questions for you to reflect on, but be prepared for just a very real episode, and I hope that it helps. Let's get to it. Life is full. It's full of beautiful moments, hard moments, and a whole lot of mundane in between. Often we find ourselves going through the motions, and we end up seeing mostly the hard, mostly the boring, and failing to see the good in our days at all. With Intention is a podcast about changing the narrative. I'm your host, Desiree, and I'm no expert at living intentionally. I'm just here to share my personal learnings alongside stories from others about how we're learning to see the beauty in the mundane, celebrate our beautiful, ordinary, everyday lives, and approach every aspect of them with intention. We'll talk about things like motherhood and family, reflecting and taking care of ourselves, our work, our homes, all the things that make up our days. My hope is that you'll leave our conversations reminded that our beautiful, hard, ordinary, mundane days, this messy life, it's full of good and it's full of purpose and it's meant to be lived well with the utmost intention. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get to today's episode. Hi friend, welcome back to With Intention. This is episode 103. Today, I'm going to talk with you solo about something that has been very important to me over the past year, something that I've spent a lot of time and energy on, and something that I talked about last year at this time on the podcast, and I want to revisit it because I've learned a lot since then. Last year around this time, I released a Q&A episode with Catherine about health and fitness. It was a topic that a lot of people wanted us to address. Just how do we approach this in a minimalist way, in an intentional way? Is it possible to do so? At the time, I was basically in the same place that I had been for years, which is kind of an on-again, off-again relationship with health and fitness. And I'm sure that I am not alone in that. I think that the health and fitness industry actually benefits from us being in that kind of relationship with our bodies, with movement, with food, kind of an on again, off again. Oh, I need to get better at this, or I need to do more of this. And so we stop and we start and we try something new and we spend more money. And today I want to approach this question again. Can health and fitness be simplified? And I also want to talk about why you might hate it, like why you might hate moving your body and working out, or why you might struggle so hard with dieting, and I would rather call it like nourishing our bodies well. Before we get into this topic, I just want you to know that I am not an expert in the field. I do not have all the answers, but what I want to share with you today is just a lot of what I've learned and my own journey. Because I've shared a little bit of this on Instagram because it's something that has been a huge part of my life this past year. And I always get a lot of questions. I always get a lot of interest to hear more about it. So here it goes. I'm going to share more about it today. So I have nothing against New Year's resolutions at all. I think intentional goal setting is a great idea, but it is New Year, New You season. And that means that this topic of fitness and dieting is on the top of our minds, or if it's not on the top of our minds, it's everywhere else. We see it all the time. It's being marketed everywhere. And the problem with this season, this New Year, New You season, let's call it, is it comes with marketing and messaging from the fitness industry that tells you that you should be unhappy with yourself unless you look a certain way. Okay, I realize not everyone in the fitness industry is saying it like this, but that's just kind of a majority of messaging that we have maybe been fed for years and years and years, especially as women. And a lot of you who might be listening right now are also moms. And so our bodies have made quite the change over the years. And so we get this idea that we should be unhappy with ourselves unless we look a certain way. And the other funny thing is that look that that we're supposed to have, it changes, right? The goal look of our bodies changes, just like a style. And it's unattainable for many of us to look the certain way that we have been led to believe that we should look. But the fitness industry at large has a solution for us. We need to eat less and we need to kill ourselves in the gym, and then our bodies will look that way. That is the message that we are given. And the other part of that is others will say, it's not a quick fix. It's a lifestyle. So then what does that even mean? Does that mean that we're just supposed to eat less and always be hungry forever and do these workouts that we actually really hate forever? How can we make this simpler? Can it be simplified? Because there's just so much conflicting information out there, so much conflicting messaging, and there's a lot of lies we've believed along the way. And overall, the fitness industry benefits from us not liking the way that we look, from us having poor body image. Again, I can't come at these things from an expert standpoint, other than I have been an expert in believing those lies on and off again for a really long time. So when we hear this common messaging, many of us will kind of believe it because we don't feel comfortable in our skin, or we feel like, okay, we're out of shape. Like, I do want to be healthier. Maybe I need to work on my body image, but still, bottom line, I need to be healthier. I'd like to not lose my breath when walking up the steps, or I'd like to be a little bit stronger. I'd like to be able to pick up my kids and not feel like my arms are going to fall off. Because of all of the confusion and the complexities of the different messaging, the different ways to get a fit body, and the different ways to make ourselves healthier that are out there and that people are preaching and that experts, quote unquote, are preaching, a lot of us will believe that we're supposed to eat less and kill ourselves in the gym forever. This is supposed to be a lifestyle. When I started first working out consistently back in college, that was the first time I ever moved my body consistently. I come at this from the standpoint of someone who was like a longtime couch potato and not athletic at all. I personally believed this lie that my workouts had to make me feel like I wanted to die and I should be eating less, as little as I possibly could, and still like live my life. I should be eating mostly protein and vegetables all day, and being hungry means I'm doing it right. That's what I believed. And when I look back at when I was first consistent with working out back in college, I realized that I actually found a workout that I really enjoyed. I was doing Pilates for a while, and then I would sometimes do group exercise classes, and I enjoyed those too. And enjoying the movement was the thing that made me consistent. And then before my wedding, I started a weight training program, like classic bodybuilding, and I really loved that. And I've never been more consistent in my life. I worked out like 5 to 6 days a week, and I felt great. Other than I was eating so little that it wasn't sustainable. I think I was eating like 1,300 to 1,400 calories a day. And I, again, can't say this from an expert standpoint, but from experience and from what I've learned from other experts, I can say that if you're eating that little, you should probably be eating more. We'll get back there in a second because I want to break this off into talking about a little bit about fitness and a little bit about food. To kind of give you a place to start with, how do we simplify this and get intentional with it? What are some questions we can ask ourselves? What are some ways we move forward? So what happened? I was consistent with working out. The problem was it wasn't sustainable because I was eating too little. And right after my wedding, I just kind of stopped and gained a bunch of weight. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this because I had put myself in a place where my body was starving. And once I started feeding it food, it was like, yes, let me make sure that I store this away in case this woman starts starving me again. That's just kind of a backstory. And ever since then, I don't know why I didn't think to just go back to the things that I loved. But ever since then, which is about 7 years ago for me, I was on again, off again, trying to find the best way to get my body to look like the unrealistic shape that I put it in for my wedding. I would spend hours looking for reviews and transformations before I started yet another fitness program that I would quit again in a couple of weeks. And I would wonder why in the world I couldn't be consistent again when I was consistent for a couple of years straight and actually enjoyed it as part of my life. I was confused nonetheless, and I thought there was just something wrong with me. But what I started to realize early last year, I realized that it was because of the way that I was viewing fitness or athleticism or movement, however you want to think of it. It was because I was viewing it in a certain way. Thought I needed a fitness program that would punish my body because my body wasn't the right shape or size. That's why I thought I needed fitness in general. I thought I needed a diet for the same reasons. To eat as little as I can, to punish my body, to get it to the right shape and size. And I did care about overall health as well. I've always cared about overall health, but looking back, that always came second, and it was never the actual reason for the choice that I would make for a fitness program that I was buying or for a diet that I was trying or buying into. So last year when Catherine and I discussed this on a Q&A, we kind of came to this question of, okay, can this actually be simplified? Can fitness be simplified? And how in the world do we be intentional with this? And like I said at the beginning, I didn't have an answer then. And I am still on the journey now to shifting my mindset, to healing my relationship with my body, with movement, with food. But I think I have a better answer. And here's kind of my three-part answer. One, it can be simple. The basics of moving our bodies and nourishing them work better than some program that has a bunch of weird jumpy movements that you hate or complex supplement regimens that promise perfect results. The basics work. Those complex things do not work for most people and do not work in a sustainable way. Number two, simple does not equal easy. So saying that there is a simple way to approach this doesn't mean it's easy. Moving our bodies more when they have been more sedentary or moving them in a different way is always going to be uncomfortable. Choosing to change our eating habits is always going to be uncomfortable, not easy. But I think it can be easier than many of us have been making it. If I can be consistently doing this for the greater part of this past year, then anyone can. And number three, intentionality with this involves habit building and inner work. So how do we approach health and fitness intentionally? It's not by killing ourselves in the gym day in and day out. It's not by eating as little as possible. It's by habit building and inner work and research. Research and finding the right resources that are going to lead us to consistency and overall health versus yo-yo diets, on again, off again behaviors that they benefit from because then we'll keep buying their stuff and trying again. So some things that can help us with the intentionality here, some things that can help us kind of approach fitness and dieting or health or the way that we eat. And when I say dieting, I am meaning just the way you eat. Your diet is the food you are putting in your body, not a special regimen that you're following, like keto or anything like that. I'm just talking about the food we eat. So how do we approach the food we eat and fitness in an intentional way? Here are some things that I think have been really helpful for me. One, be realistic. Okay, so be realistic about what you're capable of about what results you want to see in a period of time. Two, follow actual experts. People who are not trying to make you think you have to look a perfect certain way or that you are able to change your body to look this ideal perfect way that society tells us we should look. You know, we all have different body makeups. It's just our bodies aren't going to look like that no matter how much we try. Follow actual experts who are looking out for your overall health and well-being. Another thing is to train your eyes to spot gimmicky marketing. Okay, a lot of these fitness programs selling us negative body image so that we in turn buy their program that's supposed to help us fix ourselves and love ourselves again because we will look different, so therefore we will love ourselves. And the last thing, identify messaging that isn't serving you. And it goes along with spotting gimmicky marketing. I realized that the idea of shrinking myself, the idea of always trying to be smaller, was not a message that was serving me. And when I realized that, I started to come across experts who were not preaching that, who were preaching strength and who were preaching overall health. And when I found those people, I realized their messaging was serving me and their messaging was something that I could actually make into a lifestyle for myself. So what messaging are you believing right now about yourself, about your body, about the food that you're eating, about fitness and health and nutrition? What messaging is not serving you? If it's making you dislike yourself, it is not serving you. So I want you to take some time to examine that if this is something that you want to change. I think that it's possible to go from a place of hating moving your body and hating working out to actually really enjoying it and making it a real consistent part of your life. I think it's possible to go from yo-yo dieting or like eating like a bird and then the next day binging on pizza and going back and forth and back and forth, or eating as little as possible and just destroying your relationship with food. I think it is possible to go from that to being truly intentional about what you're feeding your body and enjoying the food that you're feeding your body and eating the things you love, but also eating things that nourish you, that are going to support your overall long-term health. It is possible because I have made that transformation myself over the past year. And no, it's not a body transformation. It's not a transformation picture. It is a lifestyle transformation and transformation that happened inside of me and that just happened in my actions. My habits changed more than my body did. I guess that is a central part of what I've been talking about when I share about this on Instagram, is that it's just not all about the way our bodies can change. If we can come at it from a place of caring for ourselves, you know, you don't have to look at yourself in the mirror and think, oh, I look perfect. But if we can come at it from a point of caring for ourselves and loving ourselves, regardless of what our bodies look like, it's much more sustainable. Are you going to actually build habits in the way that you eat, in the way that you move your body, out of a place of hatred for yourself? Has it worked for you in the past? Have you been able to build a habit out of a place where you felt like, okay, I don't like myself right now, so I'm going to build a new habit so that I can like myself better? Does it usually work? It has never worked for me. I realized that every time I started a new diet or workout plan, that was what I was doing. So instead, when this journey started for me, where I actually started to build a sustainable habit of moving my body, I chose something that looked fun. And I found that if I focused on the things that I enjoyed within that workout time, within that time where I was moving my body, I would actually start to want to work out when it came time to do so. I would actually want to find time in my day, not try to make excuses for how I didn't have enough time. So I looked back on what kind of movement I've done in the past that was fun for me. For me personally, like I said, Pilates was really fun. I always loved spinning and lifting. So I actually started lifting because we had a home gym. We didn't have a spin bike. And I found a powerlifting programming, actually, which is nothing I've ever tried before. But I really loved the messaging of the person who put out this program, which was about strength and not about the way our bodies looked. It was about strength. It was about the capacity our bodies have. I started that. And as I went on seeing improvements in my strength, that would motivate me and help me enjoy that workout time even more. Also, it was during the height of this pandemic, which you could say we're still in that, but it was during the start of it, I should say. I found such stress relief in movement. I started looking forward to that time to myself. I looked forward to the fun music that I'd play, and I would just focus on those positive things. Focus on seeing my increase in strength. Focus on the stress relief, the time alone, the music. And so I would want to do it, even though it was uncomfortable. I would start to want my workout time, even though, yes, this is uncomfortable. My heart rate's up. I'm sweaty. Like, yeah, there's things about this that are uncomfortable. I focused on those positive things. And then over time, my body started to get more used to the feeling of being under tension and being uncomfortable. And I even started to enjoy that part as well. No, it's never easy. But I have just focused on the positives for so long that I have a hard time if you ask me, like, what don't you like about your workouts? It's hard for me to pick out parts that I don't like. It's not that there aren't parts I don't like. I don't like setting up my weights. I focus on lifting heavy, so that takes a long time. My garage gym is cold right now, even with our heater. So those are things that I don't like. But I don't focus on those things. It's not that I love every part of it and I'm this person who loves fitness. I used to think, I will never be that person. It's just that I started looking at the positive parts. I picked a type of workout that I knew I would like, not based on how transformative it could be to my body, but based on, okay, what kind of movement will I actually like? And then I focused on the positives. And I got in the habit of doing that, of letting myself have fun instead of doing this for a punishment for my body. And I just started to truly love it. And it took a lot of time. So do this for yourself instead of in spite of yourself. I thought of fitness as a thing to do in spite of myself because of how I didn't like myself for the longest time. Now I look at it as something to do because I care about myself. I do it for me so that I can be healthier and happier and more confident. A couple of other things to think about: setting short-term goals that feel attainable, whether it's strength goals or a mile goal, something like that. Time goals, depending on the type of workout that you're doing. Goals that feel attainable can help our adherence. Measuring your success, not so much in the mirror or on the scale, but by other success markers, like maybe how much easier it is to pick up and carry your kids, or how you're not losing your breath as fast when you're chasing them around. Celebrate those things. So I want to give you another list. I've got a lot of lists in this episode on just helping you choose a workout. If you have trouble and you have tried like a million different workout programs and you never like any of them, I can relate to you. Here are some things to think about on choosing a type of workout, because really the best type of movement that you can do is the kind that you will actually get up in the morning, or, you know, whatever part of your day when you have scheduled to do it, and actually do it. Something that you might even eventually look forward to. So one, do you feel good after doing it? If your body feels super tired, run down, you feel low energy the rest of the day, it's probably too much. So do you feel good after doing it? Number two, what's the messaging around the workout? I already kind of touched on this, but is the messaging trying to tell you, oh, do this because it's going to make your butt look amazing, or it's going to make you look perfect, or it's going to get you your abs that you've always wanted? Maybe just like, don't do those workouts. I don't know. Number three, why are you choosing this workout? Is it fun? Or is it because you're trying desperately to change the way that you look? Number four, are there some things that you've enjoyed in the past? This is the best thing to lean on. If there are workouts that you've enjoyed in the past, choose one of those. Or what are some things that you've really disliked in the past that you've been led to believe like this is the way to work out? Stay far away from it. And number five, what are your goals? What kind of goals do you have? Do you want to work on endurance? Do you want to work on strength? That can help you kind of decide your workout as well. I hope you're enjoying today's episode, but I want to take a quick break to thank today's sponsors making this show possible. I want to thank one of our longtime sponsors of the show, Bombas. They make the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They've literally rethought every little detail of the socks that we wear to make them more comfortable. I love wearing them for just everyday foot comfort, but I especially love the comfort that they provide while working out. My favorite part is the fact that they don't slide around my foot. These socks do more than just keep your feet cozy, though. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community. For every pair of socks that you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 40 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of 3,000 plus giving partners. That impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, a small comfort that's especially important right now. Give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/intention. That's bombas.com/intention for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/intention. I also want to thank Public Goods. Public Goods is your one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, everyday essentials. Everything from coffee to toilet paper and shampoo to pet food. They search the globe to find clean, healthy, eco-friendly, and innovative products. And I personally love their dental floss. Yes, I said dental floss. And I don't like flossing my teeth, but I like knowing that I'm using floss without any weird ingredients. And I love the little reusable glass floss container that comes with it. On the opposite side of the spectrum, their cocoa almonds do not last more than a couple of days in my house. I love that they develop each of their products to be free of unhealthy ingredients and harmful additives that are still common on drugstore and grocery store shelves, and that sustainability is implemented into every aspect of their company. Knowing what's in your products and where they come from is important. Small changes in the way that we shop can make a big impact on personal health and the world at large. To make it even better, their membership model keeps costs low, and it passes on even more savings to their customers. You can make your first purchase with no obligation because With Intention listeners can try Public Goods and receive $15 off their first Public Goods order with no minimum purchase. Yes, Public Goods is that confident about their products that they're just giving you $15 to spend on your first purchase. Go to publicgoods.com/intention or use code intention at checkout. That's publicgoods.com/intention to receive $15 off your first order. All right, let's get back to today's episode. I'm going to briefly switch gears. I hope that that helped in just your mindset around movement. And now I do want to talk about dieting and how we can approach the way that we eat or even weight loss intentionally. First of all, I'm not going to tell you how to do that because I do not have expert advice. I do not feel like I can even talk about this in a way that is fully understandable because I'm not an expert. But I do know this from what I've learned. Diets don't work for most people. I know they don't really work for me. 95% of diets fail and weight is regained within 1 to 3 years. Not fun, right? We put all this work in and then most of the time we gain it back. I have learned that the hard way. Maybe you have too. Part of this is because of adherence, because we try these diets that are not long-term sustainable. Part of it is our mindset when we're on a diet. We believe it to be something that's temporary, and then we just jump right back into our normal eating. Or we believe that we are supposed to be eating this restrictive way that we've chosen as our diet, and we yo-yo back and forth forever and ever, amen, because we cannot possibly sustain this, but we're trying to, and we believe it's supposed to be a forever thing. We're basically trying to eat as minimal as possible to get through our day. That's where I was for a long time. I have tried things like the 21-day fix. That worked for me for like a couple of weeks and then I gained the weight back because the calories on it are so dang low. Tried things like paleo, which I actually really enjoyed, but it just wasn't long-term successful for me because it wasn't realistic to restrict so many of those foods for me personally long-term. Not saying it couldn't work for anyone. I have tried other like 30-day programs. I've tried intermittent fasting and I felt good for a while, but then I'm pretty sure I messed up my metabolism a little bit because I was, again, eating too low of calories for too long of time. Diets don't fail because we can't lose weight or because our bodies don't have the capacity to change and make long-term change. It's because our bodies are smarter than we think. And I am going to just touch on this and then I'm going to point you to experts. But basically, our bodies adapt, our metabolisms adapt to the amount of food that we are giving them within reason. So if you're giving your body 1200 calories a day for a really long time, it tries to find a way to adapt and stay at its current weight and current level on that amount of calories. And that's why people see plateaus on their diets, get discouraged because they're still super hungry, but they're not seeing weight loss. And they just throw it all out the window. So again, I'm going to share some resources in a minute to start to help you explore this idea and understand it more if this is new news to you. But I personally want to share my experience. I was yo-yo dieting for like the past 7 years. I would always think, okay, I just need to eat less. I need to eat healthier. I need to eat less carbs. I need to eat only fruits, veggies, and protein, and sometimes not even fruit because fruit is bad. I would literally think those things. And over the past year, what I chose to do is I actually started with a restrictive calorie diet, but I was tracking my food. I was tracking it in my FitnessPal. I was tracking my macros, and I realized that I should not restrict them as much as I have in the past. Over a year of eating anywhere between 1500 to 1800 calories, I did not lose weight. I didn't lose any. I would lose a few pounds and then they'd come back. And I started to realize as I worked out, as I strength trained, and as I went on the scale, I'm still weighed the same, that my body was probably changing by gaining muscle, maybe losing a little bit of fat, but I felt comfortable at the weight that I was. I had to start asking myself why I was trying to lose weight, why I was focusing so much on the scale. And what I realized is my body moved well, gaining strength. I felt great. I felt in shape. I didn't feel out of breath when I'm walking up a hill, depending on how steep the hill is. I just felt great. Why did I need to see that number on the scale go down? And I realized I didn't. It wasn't about weight loss anymore for me. So I kind of just kept it at 1800 calories. I thought that was my maintenance calorie, which that's kind of like diet lingo, but I thought that's what I needed to sustain my current weight because I wasn't losing weight, and so I kept it there. But as I was lifting heavier, I was still so hungry. I was tired all the time, and I kind of just went to an expert finally for help, and I was like, I'm always tired. I'm always hungry. I'm a small person. I'm only 5'1", so I probably should only be eating 1,800 calories a day. I don't want to eat more than that. I don't want to gain weight. I kind of still want to lose weight because I don't like the number, even though I feel great. And I got the answer that I should probably be eating more. So what I did was I pushed up my calories to 2,000, and these days I'm eating over 2,000 calories a day, 2,100-ish to 2,200-ish to be exact, and I have not gained weight. I am eating until I'm full and not over full, and I am actually able to adhere to eating healthy foods. I am able to eat foods that I like and that I enjoy and that feel like an indulgence as well on a daily basis, but in a small amount and in an amount that supports my health, and I have never felt better. I'd be lying if I say I have the perfect body and I've gotten into this perfect place and this perfect place of self-love and I'm happy with exactly how my body looks. It's not that. It's not a place of perfection. It's just a place of realizing that that doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's not about how perfect my body looks. It's about how I feel. It's about, do I feel healthy? Does the way that I'm eating support my health? Do I feel like I have energy? Do I feel like I'm not tired all the time? I thought it was normal to be tired and hungry all the dang time. So I know I went on a rant there, but I just want to give you some questions to kind of ask yourself. These are questions for nourishing your body well and even dieting. Number one, do you actually need to lose weight? Like, how do you actually feel at your current weight? Because maybe you do want to lose weight and that's okay. That's just a question to ask yourself to kind of find a starting point. How do you actually feel? Number two, what could you change about how you currently eat to become a healthier version of yourself? Are you eating a lot of processed foods? Could you eat more real foods? Could it be that simple that you eat handfuls of fruit instead of handfuls of potato chips? Making simple swaps that are going to make you feel better and might change your body down the road, but more so we're focusing on how we feel. Number three, have you been dieting forever and it's not working? That's kind of the place I came to for this past year of like, I've been eating low calories forever and ever, or on again, off again, and nothing works, or it works for a little bit, but then it goes back up. It's the yo-yo. Something needs to change, and that's a good starting point to just acknowledge, okay, I've been doing this and it's not been working, so like, what do I do differently here? And then number four, how often do you move your body, and how can you support that movement with food? And maybe the amount of time you move your body, you want to change, you want to move your body more. So as you move your body more, how are you going to support that with food? Because if we eat as little as possible and move our body as much as possible for a long period of time, for more than like a month, it's going to start to wreak havoc on our bodies. We have to have more balance. I want to give you two resources to start off with. The first one is someone I follow. She is an expert in the field and I absolutely love her perspective. She struggles with autoimmune disease herself, Hashimoto's, which is something I struggle with and might be a good resource for anyone who struggles with the same and or just anyone who wants to explore the idea of actually eating the amount of food that your body needs. Her name is Lori Christine King. You can find her at Lori Christine King, but she is one of my favorite resources and she has helped me change my mindset around health and fitness in so many ways and truly begin to love it. The next recommendation that I have is the Make It Simple podcast. It is by Andrea Allen and she has four young kids. She actually just put out two podcasts about reverse dieting, which is something over the past few months that I've been doing. Her other most recent podcast is about when a calorie deficit backfires, or basically, in other words, when you are dieting for way too long and it wreaks havoc on your body. I recommend finding her podcast, the Make It Simple podcast, listening to those as a good starting point if any of what I have said today resonates with you. This has been long, this has been ranty, this has been rambly. I am just trying to fumble through my words with this, but I really wanted to share this journey I've been on, share some takeaways that I hope will help you, and I just hope it has resonated with you. I've gotten a lot of requests to kind of share my journey, share my learnings, and here it is. Whether it's definitely not perfected or polished, but here it is, and I hope you enjoyed it, friend. That's all I have for today. Look in the show notes for those resources that I shared. I'm not giving you a lot of resources because it can be overwhelming in general, and I just want you to start there, and you can kind of find more along the way as you dive into those two to start. Thank you again for being here. Share this with a friend if it was helpful for you, and I will talk to you right back here again next week on the show.